Hello, welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett. So glad you're joining us today. Brand new week and a new opportunity to share with you from the book of James. And I am so excited about this broadcast. And you know, every Monday, we kind of do a recap as to what happened at Hickory Ridge Community Church over the weekend. And we are going through a series on the book of James. And I'm calling this series Functional Faith for a Dysfunctional World. And I want to begin the broadcast by sharing five reasons why we all need to have wisdom. That's what we're talking about today. And we're talking about this need for wisdom. And I've entitled the message today, Steady Up. That's right, Steady Up. We are living in a world where people are unstable, they are unreliable, they're up and down, and one thing is right, the next thing is wrong, and they don't know where they stand on many issues. They tend to also be emotionally unstable. I think what our world needs is some wisdom, some good old-fashioned wisdom. Well, James is actually a wisdom book, and James was written by the half-brother of Jesus. Throughout the Bible, there are several books that could be considered wisdom literature. Proverbs is one of those, Ecclesiastes is one of those. And I want to share with you just a couple of reasons from the book of Proverbs chapter 3. Before we get into the book of James, Proverbs chapter 3, as to why wisdom is so important and why we need wisdom. Well, first of all, Proverbs 3:2 says, "For length of days and years of life are peace that they will add to you." So we need wisdom so that we can have peaceful days and long days. You need wisdom for a long life of peace. Well, there's also a second reason found in the book of Proverbs, and that's found in Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 4. "So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man." So we need wisdom today so that we can be in favor with God and with man. And if you look at where our culture is today, things are up and down and kind of all over the place. And you need the wisdom of Solomon, because it seems like anything you say can and will be used against you, not even in the court of law, but in your own personal life. So you need wisdom so that you can be in favor with God and man. Proverbs 3:8 says that you need wisdom for your health. It will be a healing to your flesh and a refreshment to your bones. That's what wisdom does for us. It actually brings us good health. We need wisdom also to be disciplined, and being disciplined is a wise thing to do, and wise people have discipline. Disciplined people are wise. Solomon said, "My son," Proverbs 3:11-12, "do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof, for the Lord reproves those whom he loves." Don't you like that statement? God disciplines those he loves. So if you're feeling disciplined today, it's because God loves you. And I know that may seem backwards, right? If God loves me, why does he discipline me? Well, we use the illustration of our children. You know, if you love your children, are you going to discipline them? You're going to teach them right from wrong, and you're going to require them to live in a right way, and you're going to punish them when they live the wrong way. That's part of wisdom. Well, the fifth reason that we need wisdom is because we need wisdom to make really good choices. And that's what I want to talk to you today about, really making good choices in our lives. Proverbs 3:23 says, "Then you will walk on your way securely and your foot will not stumble." Well, if you were listening to the broadcast a week ago, we talked about the second part of the book of James. We talked about problems, and problems are inevitable. Problems come around from many different angles. Problems, however, do have a purpose, and that is to make us more like Christ, to actually mature us. Well, today we see there's another issue that we're up against, and that we have a special kind of problem coming to us, and that is that we all need wisdom. But the dilemma is this. The problem that we have is we're double-minded. We're unstable in all of our ways. Let's go ahead and read the text today, and then I'll make some comments about some things I think that will help you to be filled with wisdom. James chapter 1, beginning at verse number 5. "If any of you lack wisdom," I guess that would be all of us, right? "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously." I love that. God is a generous giver. "He will give without finding fault." Now, this is an important point right here, because some people wrongly think that when James is writing this, he's saying that if you are asking for wisdom, God's not going to point out anything in your life that needs to be fixed in the process of asking for this wisdom. He will not find fault with you. I don't think that's what James is saying here. I think what James is saying here is that when we come before God and we ask for wisdom, God's not going to say to us, why are you asking me for wisdom? I've given you my word. Why do you need to come to me for wisdom? Now, the reason I believe this is because I understand who James was writing to. James was writing to the 12 tribes that were scattered. Those were Jewish believers that because of the persecution, they were scattering. They were leaving outside of Jerusalem. They were going into the surrounding communities and cities, and they were being scattered because of persecution. However, these Jews had a deep understanding of God's word. These Jews were actually the keepers of the law. They understood exactly what the Torah meant. So if you were a Jewish young man, for example, the minute that you learned how to read and write, you would begin to memorize the Torah. That's how they would allow you to pass that on from generation to generation. Most of it was passed on through oral tradition, and you would memorize it. Not everybody knew how to read. Some did and write, but you would learn things by memory. And so these Jewish believers, many of them had committed to memory all of the Torah. That's the first five books of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Can you imagine memorizing all those books? And so these people are thinking, if I ask God of wisdom, he's going to be fault-finding. He said, what? You didn't remember what you memorized? So James says, God's not going to find fault with what you're doing. He says, it's going to be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe, nothing wavering, because the one who doubts is like that wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person shall not expect to receive anything from the Lord, because such a person is double-minded, dual-souled. That man shall not receive anything from the Lord because he's unstable, double-minded, unstable in all of his ways. And then James says this, believers in humble circumstances, it seems there's a transition in the subject here. James says, if you're in a humble circumstance, you ought to take pride in your high position. Now, why does he say this? To us, this makes no sense at all, because I don't feel like I'm in a high position when I'm humbled. I feel like I'm in a high position when I'm exalted. James is talking about the fact that God is very close to those who are humble. That's where we often meet him, in our place of humility. James continues on, but the rich man should take pride in his humiliation, since they will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises and the scorching heat withers the plant. The blossom fails and his beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even when they go about their business. So here we discover there's some interesting thing about wisdom. And wisdom is not just for those who are rich. Wisdom is given to those who are humble. Wisdom is not given to those who are dual-minded. I'm talking about godly wisdom. So let's think about this word wisdom. What exactly is biblical wisdom? Biblical wisdom is taking the knowledge of God's word and applying it to everyday life. As we look at what James is addressing, he's talked about the problems in James chapter 1, 2 to 4, why problems come. They're multifaceted. They're coming to us in all different directions, but they're coming to mature us. Now James is talking about this matter of decision-making. Now, the quality of your life will be determined by the wisdom or the foolishness of your decisions. Now, if you don't handle problems correctly, you probably won't make wise decisions. After all, that's part of the learning process of how we learn to make wise decisions. We encounter problems. Did you know that just about every day of your life, I give or take maybe a couple of hundred different variations to this, but every day of your life, you make about 3,500 decisions. Now, that's a lot of decisions to make. Now, what is the problem that we face? The problem that we face is indecision. A dual-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. That word is actually one who is two-souled. And James is writing to believers, and he's saying that when we are double-minded, we have on one hand wanting the mind of Christ, and on the other hand, we're having the mind of humanity, a humanistic mind. So they're at war with one another. James goes on to remind us that because of that, we become very deceptive. And sometimes we can even deceive ourselves. Now, Jesus was very adamant about the importance of not being a person that is indecisive. He was very specific in Matthew chapter 5 as he's giving the Sermon on the Mount. And as you look at this, at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gathers all these people together and he reminds them as he begins his sermon. He says, simply, let your yes be yes and your no be no. But it doesn't stop right there. He says anything less or anything more is evil. In other words, that if we can't make up our minds, the enemy is going to use that time of deception to cause us to make a poor decision. In the book of Revelation, we are told the church of Laodicea was neither hot nor cold. Because they were neither hot nor cold, God spewed them out of his mouth. Now, I don't know if you're a coffee drinker or not, but I can tell you something about coffee. I either like my coffee super hot, so it's like burning your tongue as you drink it, or I like it super cold, so it's freezing your lips as you're drinking it, right? I don't like lukewarm coffee. Sometimes I get up in the morning, I get a cup of coffee, and I set it on the counter, and I go about doing something, and I come back to it, and it's lukewarm. And I say, oh, man, this thing's terrible. And so I've got to get another cup of coffee, or I stick it in the microwave, or do something to it. God hates lukewarm Christians. Lukewarm Christians are those who are indecisive. They have a hard time making up their minds. Well, here's the dilemma that we have when it comes to the matter of being indecisive. People who are indecisive are unstable, James says. Not in some of their ways, but all of their ways. In other words, if you can't make up your mind, it's because you're unstable emotionally. You've met this kind of person, they're happy and they're up and down, they're sad, they're aggressive, then they're passive. Here are some characteristics of an unstable person who is unstable emotionally. They make angry statements. They feel entitled. This person struggles to regularly show up for things. This is a person that has a dramatic life. Wherever they go, there seems like drama seems to follow them. This is a person who fails to display empathy for others because he's so consumed with himself. This is a person that's always trying to one-up you. The person that easily sifts other people. This person can never admit when they're wrong. This person is extremely fearful of any criticism or any minor rejection. This person runs from problems rather than dealing with them appropriately. This person doesn't consistently manage their health. They don't take care of themselves. This person can't see other people's point of view. This person seems to be way too intense and way too sensitive. Maybe that fits you today. I want to encourage you to be a decisive person. And when you learn to not be indecisive, you will discover that your emotions will start to stabilize. Well, there's also unstable relationships. That would be the person jumping from one friend to another friend, maybe a new spouse, a new job, always searching but never finding. You think about the word loyalty. Loyalty really is not a word. It's a lifestyle. Are you a loyal person? Are you one that somebody can count on? I'm so thankful that I have many friends that I've been friends with for like 30, 35, 40 years. They've been lifelong friends to me. And it's so neat that we're able to stay connected because not all of them live close by. I want to encourage you to realize that Proverbs 18:24 says, there is a friend who destroys each other. I don't know about you, I've had a few of those friends come in my life and they destroyed friendship. But the Bible tells us, Proverbs 18:24, a real friend sticks closer than a brother. So there's unstable emotions, there's unstable relationships, but there's also an unstable spiritual life. This is a person that is hit and miss. This is a person that makes decisions and then they back off of those decisions. This is a person that is unfaithful, very inconsistent. We would say they're almost like children or they're almost like infants. As a matter of fact, Paul uses that exact word to describe those who are immature in the faith. In Ephesians 4:14, Paul says, when we grow up, we will no longer be infants, no longer tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of the people in their deceitful schemings. Paul says, as you grow up, as you spiritually mature, you're no longer falling prey to false teaching. You're no longer driven by deceitful schemes. You're no longer blown back and forth by every wind of teaching and doctrine. You understand what you believe and why you believe it. And you're not blown off course because you are stable. You are secure in what you know. Well, what is the prescription for getting wisdom? Now, this may blow your mind, but the prescription for getting wisdom is the same prescription as getting stability. As we become stable in our lives, we become filled with wisdom. As a matter of fact, Isaiah 33:6 says this, he, referring to God, will be the sure foundation for your times, a rich store of salvation, And wisdom and knowledge and fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. So I want to encourage you to be a steady person. And as you steadily ask God for wisdom, He will give it to you. There's some steps I think you got to take in order to be a steady person. And so James kind of gives us three very simple steps in order to become a stable person that is filled with God's wisdom. Well, number one would be admit. Well, admit what? Admit that I'm not stable. Admit that I am not where I need to be. We have a ministry in our church called Celebrate Recovery. And in Celebrate Recovery, there's 12 steps that you go through. And the very first step is this. I must admit that my life has become unmanageable because of this addiction, because of this hurt, or because of this habit, or because of this hang-up. My life has become unmanageable, unstable. In order for me to correct this problem, I must admit that there is a problem. So James says you got to ask for wisdom, but he says, if you lack wisdom. In other words, you've got to acknowledge, I do indeed lack wisdom. Now again, here's a definition of wisdom. Wisdom is knowledge put into practice. Knowledge of God's word put into practice of your life. What keeps us from putting into practice the knowledge of God's word is this little thing called pride. Proverbs 11:2 says that when pride comes in, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. So the humility part is, Lord, I don't have all the answers. You know, I used to think I knew all the answers. Now I don't even know what the questions are. You know, as you think about life, the older you get, the more you realize I don't know as much as I think I know. And so I've got to ask God and I've got to admit that I need wisdom. Step number two is that actual asking. So step number one is I admit that my life needs some wisdom and I'm going to ask for it. Step number two, he should ask of God. You know, Proverbs 2:6 says, it is the Lord who gives you wisdom. From him comes knowledge and understanding. Now, as we read this phrase, he should ask of God, we don't take this as something negative or something derogatory, but I want you to know that the Jewish believers, when they heard James writing this, they were actually taking this as a slap in the face because they felt like James was saying to them, you guys don't have a clue. You guys are stupid. You guys are missing what God wants you to have. So he's in essence slapping them right across the face, not as an insult, but he's slapping them in the face saying, hey, would you wake up? Would you realize that God has something for you? James is giving them this sharp rebuke and he's criticizing them and he's telling them the reason they don't have faith or don't have wisdom is because they don't even think they need to ask for it. They think that they are full of all wisdom. I mean, we're talking about the Levites. We're talking about those who knew the law, who knew the Torah. And James is saying, you don't have wisdom. And they're like, we got the word. We got it memorized. What do you mean we don't have wisdom? James is saying, but you're not putting it into practice. You have this information, but you're lacking wisdom. You're lacking the capacity to take the knowledge that you have and put it into practice. James, as you look at the overall context here, and he talks about believers that they're encountering trials. He talks about that these trials will actually improve them as a person. And as they encounter these trials, they don't know how to deal with it. And that's when they need to ask God. They're going into an area that they haven't been before. They're going to be persecuted for their faith. They need the wisdom of God. You see, you only receive that wisdom when you ask, and you ask in faith. And when you ask in faith, you receive, and you get this thing called a calm delight. When the trials come, and you're asking God to give you wisdom, he actually gives you not only just wisdom, but it gives you peace. Have you ever had your dreams fall apart? They were shattered. Have you ever wondered where God was when life became too much to bear? Have you ever thought that if you had more going for you, that you had this opportunity to be more of a blessing, but you have all these things that you feel like are holding you back? In his book, Shattered Dreams, Larry Crabb wrote these words. Satan's masterpiece is not the prostitute or the skid row bum. It is the self-sufficient person who has made life comfortable, who is adjusting well to the world and truly likes living here. A person who dreams of no better place to live, who longs only to be a little bit better, a little better off than he already is. You see, that self-sufficient person is Satan's masterpiece. The God masterpiece person is one who is God-dependent. When it comes to spiritual things, we are all bankrupt before the Father. God wants us to have true joy, and he wants us to be dependent upon him. He doesn't want us to be self-sufficient. He wants us to be God-sufficient. He wants us to yearn for what he wants to give us. James teaches us that we can have this calm delight when we encounter trials because they are giving us a new perspective, a fresh insight. Instead of mumbling and complaining about our trials, we can enjoy this calm delight even in the face of hardships. James isn't finished with us just yet, and as we look at verses 5 through 8, he admonishes his readers to be single-minded, not double-minded, and he calls them out to have a perspective of wisdom. Let me read verses 5 through 8 to you. But if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without doubting, for the one who doubts is like the sea, the ocean, tossed by the wind. For that man shall not expect to receive anything from the Lord, because he is double-minded and unstable in all of his ways. I don't know if you ever thought about Solomon, the wisest guy who ever lived other than Jesus, but Solomon received wisdom. And the reason he received that wisdom, a discerning heart, is because he actually asked God for it. In 1 Kings chapter 4, God comes to Solomon and says, you can have anything that you want. So God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and breadth of understanding and as measureless as the sea of the seashore. Why did God give him that wisdom? Because Solomon asked for it. He could have asked for a whole lot of things. He could have asked for wealth. He could have asked for power. But he asked for a discerning heart so that he could know how to lead God's people. In Psalm 89, verse number 14, it says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. I think about our world today, and there's four areas that we all need God's wisdom in our lives. I want to give these four areas of kingdom wisdom. I think it's got to begin with the individual. You need wisdom. I need wisdom as an individual because we are living in perilous times. We are living where times are changing quickly. What was once easily considered right is now up for debate and in many cases considered wrong. So as individuals, we need wisdom to discern right from wrong. We also look at the government. I want to encourage you to pray for our government. We are living in a time where it seems like the underpinning and the foundation of the government is actually crumbling right before our eyes. You know, God has raised up government for the purpose of two reasons. Number one, the purpose of government is to punish evil. You see, God realized that we needed somebody to take care of us when crimes were committed. He didn't want us to be a bunch of vigilantes going around and taking matters into our own hands. So he established government to punish evil. God also established government to reward good. You know, the government should reward you for doing the right thing and punish you for doing the wrong thing. The dilemma that we have in our culture is that we are having a hard time figuring out what's wrong and what's right. So we need to pray that our government will be filled with wisdom. But there's two more areas that also need wisdom, and that is the family and the church. Well, let's look at the family for just a few moments. When you think about the family, that is the first institution that God created. God created Adam and Eve. They were the first family. God says to Adam, I want you to leave your mother and father. I want you to cleave to your wife, and the two will become one flesh. That was the start of the family. The family is under attack right now more than ever. You see, the enemy realizes that if the family falls apart, that's going to impact the individual. That's going to impact the government. The family falling apart also impacts the church itself. So step three in gaining wisdom is that you've got to anticipate that God is going to give it to you. In other words, you got to believe that he's going to give it to you. Ask in faith and it shall be given to you. I want you to know there's ways that God gives you wisdom as you ask in faith. He gives it to you continuously. He gives it to you generously. And he gives it to you without finding fault. Ask and it will be given to you. You know, Jesus kind of said the same thing. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. When it comes to this matter of wisdom, ask of the Lord and he will give it to you. Well, I thank you for listening to the broadcast today. And as maybe you're driving down the road, maybe you need some wisdom for a big decision that you got to make. Well, I want to pray that God will fill you with his wisdom and that you'll have a discerning heart. So Lord, I pray for that person who might be listening to me right now. They've got a big decision before them. They don't know whether to go to the left or to the right. They don't know whether to proceed this way or that way. So Lord, I'm praying on their behalf that you fill them with wisdom. Allow them to believe in, that they will receive that wisdom. Allow them to not waver and not doubt. Lord, just fill them with your discernment today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We'd love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.